question to them, and I don't do anything to Deppy.
We know.
But yeah, I used to do lots of stuff. But I'm really interested in the whole. So something I've said for a long time is that I think it's a real shame that there are more commercial opportunities around Debian. So if you're a kernel hacker, then you get hired immediately and you can pretty much work full time on the kernel upstream. But if you work on Debian, I've seen so many good people at Debian who, you know, used to do a lot of stuff at Debian while they were students, and then they, you know, had to get a job and they basically disappeared. And you just have to look at the past Debian project leaders, how many of them actually work full time on Debian, and there aren't many. So I think the only exception now is Steve McIntyre, who can do some stuff. And I think that's just sad. I think we need to have a better ecosystem to have more opportunities. And so I work for HP. HP used to be very engaged with Debian. We used to have a lot of Debian staff, Debian developers and staff. And now the HP is trying to re-engage. But I'm actually part of a different team, so I'm not directly involved with that. But I think they're really trying to do the right thing.
Okay, thanks. Okay, yeah, so the question is, how can we do this? I mean, there was, as I said, Martin, Michael and I had a discussion earlier this month, and we decided we wanted to also push it forward. I mean, this has been an ongoing push by also probably a lot of people in here already. And so I sent out an email. Brian replied, unfortunately not here, but so his main points were, I think you saw his name, was that, okay, let's push back. Let's say what I suggested is to have some kind of entity where companies can donate to Debian a yearly fixed amount, and then we would have to decide how to split it in order to both fundraise for Debian, ESA. I mean, for Debian it's mostly hardware, Sprint, and DevCon. Yeah, a big part for us is also DevCon, I would say. And the main point why this would be good is, one, the budgets are usually set, so companies would like to, or are more easily able to write a check every year, have it in the budget. What Brian also brought up, which is an important point I didn't think before, is it's also probably very interesting for them to just have the same billing address every year. So billing address, so SPI this year, something else next year, that's problematic, so it's always...
If you change the entity every year, it's difficult because
in general, it's easier to sign off for them. And for us, it would be better planning of budget. And yeah, I think from that kind of perspective, it's mostly better planning. So just to recap what Brian said to that, he said he thinks there's no need for another trusted organization, and he thinks that some kind of foundation would need people to manage it, and that's probably not, takes a lot of time. So his proposal was to just kind of put on the website, company XY has donated such and such, so they're a silver partner of Debian. And then we could One part of the thing that Michael and I talked is that we could then have silver partners have a highly discounted way of being a silver sponsor of DevCon.
Or sorry to interrupt, but because that came out yesterday, or just include it.
Or just say
the silver partnership with Debian includes silver partnership for DevCon.
That's
the pricing.
Right, so there will be 100% discount.
I mean, yeah, essentially, yeah.
But the main problem then is, of course, how to split money. I mean, right now, so the other point, of course, is that Debian and DevConf were kind of separate in the past due to various technical and political reasons, and also money-wise. So there was only like a DPL-approved transfer in the beginning and maybe in the end, but it's not the same budget and funding. Okay.
But that's simpler.
But it's better. Yeah, right. It's getting better. So I think we now have the opportunity. Maybe a couple of years ago, Debian and DevConf people would say, we don't want to work together, right? But now I think that's much getting much better. So that would also be an opportunity. But it would have to be, we would have to figure out how to split it between Debian and DevConf. So please.
So just some background. So we now have a pretty, we start to have a pretty clear view of the budget that the Debian project needs as a whole. So with the DSA work in the past and trying to figure out what is the amount of money they need on a yearly basis to replace the machines, and it's very substantial. But on the other hand, we have no yearly activity that does real fundraising for Debian, except for that. So this is the kind, I think, this is the kind of the need which we're trying to fix here. So I think the model, like what's called the FreeBSD Foundation that Oleg brought in the past is a nice example. There are many others. So we really want to have a plan in which companies supporting Debian in general can support the project. I think that kind of support should not be earmarked in any way. So I think they need to be interested in donating to Debian, and Debian will decide how to spend this money. The only exception, which I think makes sense, is actually DevConf, because there are some companies that are okay with being, you know, silver sponsor in general at Debian project, and there are others which really want to have some kind of presence at the event. They want to have banners, t-shirts, let me just
mention that, sure.
Then t-shirts and the like. So I think that's a good reason to have some kind of different criteria, and the discount idea is actually makes sense, because I think for companies, not for all companies, but for some companies, there is added value in being also at that point. And it's reasonable to ask those companies to pay something for that added value. I think the main discussion practically is who is going to work. So there is some setup to be done, right? Keeping track of donations, the expiry of donation, because every year you need to say, okay, now we reset the threshold, and maybe have some period of some grace period in which you just don't remove the companies immediately, but you have someone mailing them and say, hey, are you going to donate again this year, and so on and so forth. And the other debate is essentially about threshold. So you're right. So what you're saying is that essentially you have a 100% discount, and we have also the threshold to decide, right? You have what are the threshold for becoming silver, what are the discount rate, and so on and so forth.
And these change over years.
Might be, yes.
I'm not saying they should, I'm saying they have.
Right, okay. Yeah.
We might want to get away from that situation that they change every year. Let me just briefly, talk about the wording thing. I disagree with that point Brian made, that the foundation would be so much work. We don't need a physical entity, but I would really say let's try to keep a wording that companies understand. Mm. And foundation is a word that all companies understand. Mm. If we come up with something like a sponsor, sounds completely different.
So just communication.
Let's do a virtual foundation. And instead of getting an invoice from that foundation, you get one from SBI. So what?
Yeah, so something I like is like
lots of weight.
Yeah. Sorry.
So I'd like to point out that we have a single book that is two different discussions going on. There's one about improving Debian fundraising, and that's actually fairly consensual. It means that moving the fundraising team from DevConf to Debian and deciding about sponsorship levels, benefits, tools to use to just improve the workflow, etc. We could have the discussion today. I'm not sure it's actually needed to discuss this in detail because we have no concrete proposal yet. We just need a concrete proposal, and probably it will be fine. I mean, let's not care about 3,000 euros versus 3,500 euros for silver, whatever. The other big discussion we could have is about how do we build a better ecosystem with companies. So that's the foundation discussion, not the fundraising discussion. And I think you should just decide which one we're going to have today.
I think we're going to have neither of those. So for me, it was like just, you know, having sponsor level on a yearly basis for the Debian project.
Yes, I think that's the wide agreement that we need something like that.
That's great, but I mean, it was not clear to me before Michael proposed it, Bob. So that's great. I mean, that's okay. Progress.
I think who thinks that that would be a bad idea to just move Debian fundraising to Debian fundraising.
But that's not quite the same thing, right? So because you can have the yearly fundraising for the Debian project, and additionally you have some specific fundraising for DATCO. Because for example, the local
exactly.
Or for MiniDATCO, of course. But again, I don't think one will need to take over the other completely. We're just saying we want to have a yearly fundraising for the Debian project. And then we have all the threshold discussion to decide how that relates to the extra fundraising for that.
So yeah, so basically the Debian fundraising team doing additional fundraising for DevConf, like reaching out to the current Debian sponsors and just say, okay, if you want to be listed as a sponsor of DevConf,
we give you this discount.
But I would put the discount into that whatever membership, yearly sponsoring, whatever. It, you should be absolutely clear from the beginning. This is what it contains.
I agree. And then, but that it might evolve over time. I mean, we can might need some trial and error to see what.
Yeah, we have to talk to
a
couple more sponsors.
Yes.
I mean, right now, the Chrome is pretty slow. It's pretty low.
Well, so
sponsors in the room.
Right.
We have one sponsor in the Gome. Brian is writing the stuff there.
Okay.
There's another problem or something?
No, he's writing a stuff, and one of his points, I think, is important. That he's saying that it's likely to be a too big administrative burden and needs hire people. The Debian Foundation.
I was just reflecting what we were saying. It's nothing I was looking at.
Okay.
Martin?
First of all, so I agree that there are actually, I think, like at least four different discussions that people want to have, and it wasn't quite clear which one we're going to focus on. So I think there is one, like the fundraising for Debian. The other one, when I hear the term Debian Foundation, I'm actually a little bit concerned because when I hear that term, what I understand is having one organization for Debian instead of having the trusted organizations. And I know that that's also something that has been proposed in the past, and I don't think we are talking about that today. So in terms of getting the companies to sponsor, maybe one model to look at is like the Gnome, and they call it an advisory board, where companies basically donate, and then they have like a way to have some voice. Maybe that's something, because we should also be looking at the other foundations, how they do it. And then I think the other another discussion is if we want to do fundraising, should we also do it for companies, or should we also do like an individual program, so something like a Friends of Debian program. And the other discussion which I'm interested in, which I mentioned in the beginning, is how can we build a ecosystem where companies actually do more work for Debian. So, because I think Debian is at a really important stage at the moment where there's a lot of interest. So, for example, with Wild doing, you know, using Debian, with HP using Debian, I think there's a lot of interest. And how can we get people to contribute more upstream? And so Michael and I did discuss some, but anyway, we should probably focus on one thing.
Pretty closely connected, though. I think this, let's say in quotes, foundation approach would at least bring those companies together and closer together. So I think maybe we should take it one step at a time.
It's not just about fundraising. Like getting those companies together
Is
actually more about just fundraising. It's actually about getting also like their input on like the commercial view, and trying maybe to form sort of a more coherent approach and like more alignment between the different entities involved in Debian.
Well, that also ties into a kind of bigger discussion that Debian as a project doesn't actually have that much in terms of technical leadership. The installer team will go off and do what they think is the right thing, and the GNOME team will go off and do what they think is the right team. So there is like a fleet of different teams, and I basically the only thing you can get people in Debian to agree on, like a priori, is that free software is a good thing, and we don't always agree on what free software is.
That's true, but I think most companies who are sponsoring now are well aware of that.
Yeah, but it's...
We cannot really tell them, you know, when you come to our foundation, you suddenly can tell us which...
Which is why I think that the advisory board is... It might be a dangerous term to use, because, I mean, they can certainly give their input, but, I mean, so can anybody else who's subscribed to Debian Develop, right?
but still, you would give them a channel to give input. Right now, that channel doesn't really exist. I mean, yes, we know we can do Debian Develop, but which company does that?
It needs to be hooked up on the other side, though, so they don't give input and that gets dropped on the floor.
I think for us as Debian developers, it's clear that if there's an advisory board, they're not going to dictate anything to us. But on the other hand, you have to see it from the company point of view. If I go to an executive and I say, you know, we need, you know, 50K for an advisory board, then they're gonna, that's something they can work with. They understand, oh, so we have some influence, we have like, there's a clear channel where we can share our opinion, and that's something they understand.
My point is really that if we do that, then that advisory board and that the input coming from there needs to actually hook into our technical processes, because else it will just be this random body that nobody listens to. And I think companies will, maybe they'll sign up and, you know, stay on for 2 years or a year and then be unhappy. I think we don't want that, obviously.
So just teasing point, I think we already have companies donating to Debian on a yearly basis quite a lot of money. So I totally agree with you, actually, your idea that we don't have a good commercial ecosystem around Debian is something that's been... I got convinced about that after we talked, I think, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and it's absolutely true. But let's go step by step. So I think the first thing we need to do is to actually formalize the relationship that some companies already have only with DevConf, with the Debian project. And that we could do with this idea of continuous fundraising with levels for donation to the Debian project and with some discount mechanism for DevConf for those who want to be physically present. And those companies are not going to say, stopping donation because there is no advisory board. They're going to donate anyhow. So let's just formalize our relation with them and, you know, make it clear that they've been long-time sponsor of the project or whatever. Once we have that, we can say, okay, how can we can reach out to more companies that are currently not donating and might be donating if we give them some sort of voice in how things go. Okay? And I think that can come later, and we have no need to wait for the second part before doing the first part.
And to just briefly, because you mentioned like crediting the DevConf sponsors, we actually do have a sponsors page on the org, but that's also an issue that I think the DevConf people, for example, are not listed there.
Yeah, so it's not maintained, it's a kind of...
It's less bad than it used to be. It used to be really, really bad, like listing somebody who donated a NetWender back in 1999, like 2 years ago.
Right, I think that would be really part of the thing, that we would have some kind of page with, and we would make some formalized badge or whatever, that they could also maybe put on their website if they're interested in what we are...
Proud sponsors of Debian.
Yeah, or like silver member of the Debian fundraising project, or whatever.
No, fundraising project is...
Whatever it's called. Whatever you call it.
Just want your money.
I think the other question we really need to ask is, so we talked about fundraising, but I think we need to have some kind of answer and understanding of what are we actually going to do with funding, you know, because obviously, like, within Debian, the whole notion of hiring people is not gonna happen. So I think what are the things, and Debian at the moment has quite a bit of assets. So the question to me is what are we gonna do with the money?
And what are the things that we can... It's a false problem.
I think the main point is that it would simplify our fundraising to have to improve on that. And so it means much less stress for the DevConf team, for example, because each year we have crazy discussions about how we are going to reach the budget for DevConf. So my main motivation is that, just simplify, solve this problem once and for all. And then, well, we get too much money and then we need to think about it. Yes.
I don't think we have too much money. So I think in terms of reserve, we have like 1 year or 2 years of the yearly budget, and, you know, it's not that much. And if a DevConf goes very bad, you know,
we can pretty much eat all our resources. Mm. So it looks a lot, but compared to...
I didn't say that we have too much money, I think we need to have a better like a plan, a better idea of what we're going to do. So for example, I think the DSA team has done a really great job at like having a 5-year hardware plan.
Yes.
And I think we need to actually look at the other areas, where do we use money at the moment, like sprints, and how much are we going to need?
Don't you think that we should make sure we have more money first before we think about what we can do with it?
VetConf
right now is on a university campus. Who knows how good it will work like 2 years from now or 3 years from now, finding rooms like that. So if you have to go to a more classical congress center or hotel or whatever, it will be way more expensive.
Or all different developers being able to attend and not having to, to sponsor only trips for very few people.
For example.
Or sponsoring 10 OPW students or whatever.
But that's the answer to my question.
There are so many options.
For a company, if you do the fundraising, they want to know, so what are you going to do with the funding? And they don't want to hear, it's just going to be on a bank account. And
we're going to do those things. And hardware, that's the main thing. And actually, do we want another four? Is that what
I don't agree with we cannot hire people. I do agree with we cannot hire people for technical work. But there's so much that, we might not want to do ourselves. We talked about that last night.
Actually, Ryan also said that.
Like press work. Who of us wants to do press releases and stuff?
Sometimes we have to write
a kind of forms of, email writers.
I don't think we want to have this discussion here.
No, but there are so many options. Right. That's my point. And we don't want to give those companies all the details. We want to tell them, you have us here, 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 and there. And we decide where we need most of it.
I think there's also another point that's important. At least in my understanding, that Debian does not actually have any money itself.
Right.
And all of our money is in trust with trusted organizations like SPI or FSI.
That's just a technical detail.
It's a technical detail, but it's an important one because SPI does more than just help Debian. I mean, they started with just doing us, but I think they sponsor other.
But our money there are earmarked for Debian only. So it's not like going in the bucket with everyone else. So that's just the fact that there is no non-profit organization called Debian. But from every sensible point of view of fundraising, Debian has its own money. Okay. It's on machines and all its own intellectual property or whatever.
It's basically we have a bank account with SPI and we tell SPI how to spend it, but they can't spend it on other things.
So it's us, it's the Debian project decide how to spend those
money. Okay, it's in trust.
That's really, it is in trust.
The only case where they can say no is if we try to spend money in a way which will endanger their 501c3 status.
But we have other organizations around the world, so we can move money around. So that's really just a technical detail.
Can we cut it off here?
Yeah.
That's at least not the levels we're talking about.
Okay.
So, how do we go forward? What's the time?
Well, I guess the question is, so is there any blocker, for instance, from the auditor point of view that we do not have enough visibility of the incoming donation that we cannot do the tracking of how much is donated per year and when threshold when levels expire. So is there any blocker there for doing this?
Is it tricky?
Sorry?
Is it tricky? All right, I mean, the main problem from the auditor's point of view is that we have really poor data about what happens at the SPI.
Yeah, but I mean, what we need essentially is only tracking of what goes in. So I was wondering if, I know we don't have all the data at SPI, I wonder if what we have is good enough to implement.
Depends on the definition of goodness.
Well, for instance, we just need invoices and verify that invoices have been paid, right? To keep track of the donation from the big company.
Okay, yeah, and then you have to figure out when they expire.
Yes.
So when you have sent
a new
one.
Exactly. Yeah. So do we have this for incoming money or?
Not in any easy way. We could probably generate. But at the moment, it doesn't. You can't just look at the list and have that information.
So that's like a technical problem, which has been around for 10 years.
Right, but we haven't really thought about
we're discussing
here.
Invoice. Worst case, we just start with a spreadsheet. We're not going to start with thousands of companies. Well, it would be nice, but I don't know.
I mean, there's also two different things, right? So the one thing is giving a company recognition for having like in some kind of up to 20,000, up to 30, whatever, 40,000 they donated, and also in trying to engage and asking them, well, would you like to send us a check over whatever you did or whatever you agree on every year for the next couple of years until you so we don't have to ask them every year.
How about, I wouldn't say would you like to, I would say this is part of that membership program. Classical way is unless you send a notice letter like 3 months in advance, you just get the next year. The thing that what we have to figure out is, do we want to treat all companies equal? Do we want to treat them differently depending on their size? And do we just want to ask them to provide money? Or do we also ask them to provide, or at least to kind of prove that they do something for Debian, like they hire Debian developers or whatever? Or do we want to have two different levels there?
So for the levels, I think it's very difficult to track other stuff. So for the levels of saying I'm a Debian sponsor, silver, blah blah blah, I think you just count monetary, just only count really money, because everything else is really difficult to track. So you know that I'm fine with considering other stuff for other reasons, like Debian companies and interesting, but for being sponsor, I think it should really be like monetary sponsor only.
For just being sponsor, yes, I agree. But if we want to use that foundation to build up more of an ecosystem, more around Debian there, it might make sense to either divide it between sponsor and let's call it partner, or just add it to the levels and saying, okay, if you want to be silver sponsor, it costs you $5,000-$10,000 a year, but you also have to show us that you have at least one DD on your site.
Right.
Which is easy, because that one DD only has to tell us, yes, I work for that company, that's it.
I agree with that, and actually the partner program, which I think is not being really used, but on our website exists, actually it's okay with being a partner by not donating money, by doing work for them.
But yeah, so that could be like to see both.
Yes, I agree. Makes sense to me.
We also need to be able to handle some level of in-kind donations, like some of the help we're getting from HP is in form of discounts, and they're now moving. They for a while they haven't. Back in the days, they used to basically just give us service, and then we had to pay for them for a while, and now we're getting a few, which are paid for by HP themselves.
I think so it's easy enough to
compute
the monetary value of that.
Yes. So, yeah, we need to just...
If it's easy,
yeah.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, but that's the only for hardware.
Yeah.
But you don't want to do that for whatever service package maker is on. Because that should be separate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I just wanted to make it clear.
I mean, everything which is easy to fairly map to some monetary value can enter back this notion of sponsoring and qualify for being a Debian sponsor for that year. Is there a problem with the fact that those in-kind donations are not yearly? So can you... So, I mean, would they want to be like a super sponsor for 1 year and just disappear the year after because the server...
We don't want that.
Yes.
For the five-year plan, we have... And I mean, we could say they have to commit to doing this over a five-year period, but also we don't want it to be too bumpy, so because then suddenly it means that if we have to pay it ourselves, then 1 year we'll have lots of money, and then suddenly we go out there and spend, you know, $100,000, and that like it makes the budgeting much harder as well. So we're kind of trying to spread it out so it's fairly even. I mean, it's obviously not going to be, you know, the exact same amount every year, but like.
So you have an idea of the life of a server, right? So you just say it's going to live for 5 years and divide the amount by five and count it for 5 years.
And for hardware, that's fairly standard ways to amortize for several years.
Yeah, we don't actually do the amortization, but what we do is, I mean, we have enough servers that we basically do it that way. So we don't replace all the servers in a single year. Also because if we suddenly got 100 new machines to configure and, you know, stand up, and that would be a lot of work. So we want to spread it out.
That's probably easier with a big sponsor like HP.
Mm.
But just assume you have a smaller hardware vendor that sponsors like server every 3 years. And that's it. Just one single machine, and that gets updated everything.
In that case, we could
spread it out somehow.
Yeah, we could easily. I mean, that machine costs, you know, 20,000 euros, it costs you 5,000 euros a year to be a silver sponsor. Would you like to be a gold sponsor for a year, or would you like to be a silver sponsor for 4 years?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's
a offer.
Well, one other thing we could think of, I don't know whether that's legit, is to say that, okay, you're a silver sponsor, and we allow you to, remove the yearly amount by whatever you want until your silver sponsor level is fixed. So they could come up with a...
So essentially what that means with this one server approach would be you can prepay your silver level for a couple of years.
Sure.
With the server, it's good for 3 years, so you have a 3-year silver sponsorship agreement, and then we talk about the next one after 3 years.
And if that's okay with the entire auditor team and, you know, the kind of the financial side, I think that would be okay.
And there might be companies that prefer to pay not every year, but every 2 or 3 years. Could be.
So practical. Sorry. I think we should not forget that there's quite a lot of technical things to put in place for that. I think Martin was discussing yesterday to put in place some sort of CRM or something, because if we have currently for the DevConf team, we have a very long text file in a Git file, and it's just not scalable.
But aren't they using Arkino? Aren't they using Arkino? Request character? That's what I...
Yeah, but that's even worse. It's not spam protected, and it's only tickets. The advantage of a proper client relationship management system is that then it gives you a warning, this person has paid last year, now is the time to send a new invoice, and things like that. But that's a technical problem, but we should not just let that stick to the cupboard.
But speaking of that, if we agree on implementing this in a way that has yet to be defined, how long would it take to create the infrastructure we need?
Ask PSA.
You can probably grow organic from
you're right.
Text file. And but related question is, who in this room is actually interested in doing the actual work on this?
That's a boring question.
We're all interested in talking about doing the work.
That's great, but someone will need to do the work at some point. So. Probably for most of the questions, such as what level of complexity we want, it's up to them to decide also.
Well, right, but I mean, deciding and figuring out that at least in a relatively medium size, almost people, there is consensus that you want to do that is already progress, right?
Yeah,
that's true. I mean, before we run out of time, it would also be good to figure out, is there an existing mailing list where you can continue the discussion? Should we set up a new list?
There is a mailing list on Alia.
Which is what?
They don't sponsorship discuss or they don't fundraising discuss?
Let's figure it out.
Okay, we still have time, but I wanted to put that
in. Maybe sponsors discuss.
And generally, I would also still like to
cry. I think you've already
heard
it. Yeah, we have had
our
something
so we didn't already. I'm not sure, I was subscribed or only CC'd.
Okay.
No, usually the three of us are trends on that list together.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I was on CC or subscribed to the list. So the list has been pretty quiet recently.
There's also the Debian companies list, I want to remind that.
Yeah, which has
at all. I think actually what we should try here at DevConf is if you look at the sponsors, the silver and gold sponsors, then most of them actually are eligible for being on that list.
Yeah, right? Sure.
So we should actually try to talk to people from these companies, like, please, can you get on the list?
That list is more like a kind of how do we want to organize the stuff.
Right now, this list is dead. And my idea of closing it down so people can start discussing hasn't worked. Hasn't worked at all. Prior attempts to have it time it open didn't work either. So this combining it with the fundraising and having those sponsors be available for discussion of how to set things up best makes a lot of sense. So we should send out an announcement to that extent and telling them, okay, we're going to open that list. Please subscribe so we can discuss it there.
Well, there's two things, I think, to have a discussion internally and then how to figure this out. which have this fundraising list that I'm not sure where it is. And then we could announce this either publicly or also via the Debian companies list and have a discussion there with the companies, how they would like to, or at least have their input. But we need to get more companies on the list first. That's a different issue, but maybe we can still try to fix it during that talk by talking. Like, why is HP not on the list? Is it on the list?
No. I think it's actually easy to just companies generally work don't work on mailing lists. They work on, you know, private one-to-one communication. And I would love it for the discussions to be, you know, out in the open and everything.
Yeah, right. But at least as list is, what's the level right now? 1DD and a company, basically. And not being, basically not being a self-employed person.
Yeah, yeah, basically.
So I think there's at least makes sense for DDs from those companies to be on that list, so that as a contact.
But have you ever announced it widely? Have you ever announced that your company is widely?
Well, not super widely.
There was a press release, huh?
I don't want to derail it.
I'm just we can still try to get some companies on during that.
Yes, it makes sense to get input from the company if before we start implementing a great new systems and they are all not in.
Right. So what I think we should have is arrive at some concrete proposal with some real number attached, threshold attached, and make it circulate to companies like. Who are already sponsoring that Debian and say, what do you think of this?
Right.
Would it make a problem? Would it create a problem with you or not?
That means the first step has to be getting these companies or a DD working there onto that list.
And or just finding a contact spot and letting them.
Not necessarily, right? You can also mail those companies individually, but yes, it would be a nice side effect
also contact
to go those on the list.
So we have that point. Right. Besides, that could be an advantage for companies as well, that those, let's call it, Debian partners have their forum there and they can discuss things from the company.
That could be the equivalent of the advisory board.
Exactly.
So I don't think the term advisory board would work, would fly in Debian, but the same kind of forum is what they're looking
for. Alan, I didn't want to suggest we need to use that term, but I think we should at least look at the structure of this.
Yeah.
We should be talking to a lot of other foundations to see how.